welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket.
What a pleasure it is to say hello, I think for the first time in about a decade on the air, to my buddy John McLean from the Houston Chronicle. John, how are you?
George, I'm doing great. How are you? I recognize that voice anywhere.
Well, you know what? I recognize yours, too.
We had a lot of great times on the radio. I wouldn't be doing radio in Nashville. I wouldn't be involved in charities if it wasn't for you. I remember when I met you for the first time in 1997. I also remembered when you called me and asked me if I wanted to come on. I was in Tampa. I had parked the car. I was trying to get into the Marriott. It was hot as hell. And you asked me if I wanted to do a show. And I'm like shrugging my shoulders. And you said, I'll pay. And I stopped and said, I'm in.
That's all it took was money. I love it.
Nashville's my home away from home because of you. And it was great seeing you last month at Jeff Fisher throwing that match for Mike Amendinger Foundation and his farm. It was great seeing everybody. I had so much fun. I love coming up there every chance I get, George.
And we love having you up here. John, I don't think I've ever talked to you about college football before, but your colleague Brent Zwerneman from the Chronicle is the one that unloaded this atomic bomb yesterday about Oklahoma and Texas. Talk to me about what you know about what he knows.
First of all, I've done today three TV shows, including the NFL Network, and they asked me about it. And I've done two podcasts and three talk shows, and I got three talk shows left. And instead of asking me first about Deshaun Watson, will he report, everybody's asking about Texas and Oklahoma. And I've had a couple of friends who are well-connected at Texas, got their names on buildings, said it's almost done. But it can't be done for 3 years when the TV contract expires. And I think it's very interesting. We have a column on our sports website, TexasSportsNation.com, by Jerome Solomon, who went to Texas. And he talks about it's interesting the way the Longhorns always turned up their nose at the SEC, like the SEC wasn't good enough for them. And A&M left to get away from the Longhorns. And now the Longhorns are trying to spoil the Aggies' party. And I'll guarantee you, whatever A&M's saying publicly, that's not what they're saying privately, but this is too big for one school to keep them from doing it. And the thing the SEC is going to have to learn, George, it's things we grew up in Texas knowing. The University of Texas, which has the most money, the biggest budget, one of the best campuses and schools in the country, the university, as we call it here, they drive the bus. And if you're a little old alum of Baylor, as I am, we've known my whole life, you just take the seat and get behind the Longhorns and hope that they take you in the right direction. And Nebraska bailed from the Big 12 because they didn't like Texas telling them what to do. I'm pretty sure that had something to do with Colorado and Missouri as well. But the Longhorns don't just slide in, become one of many. They slide in wanting to become the boss at the front end of the table. That's the way they are. That's the way they've always been. And the best thing I think about this is it means Texas A&M are going to have to play football again. They haven't, and they play in other sports, and they draw record crowds, and the interest is through the roof. So if this forces the Longhorns and the Aggies to play again, that's great. And right now, the Aggies have kicked their butt. And I talked to friends. I said, so who are the Longhorns hiring after Sarkisian? They said, what do you mean? I said, you change coaches every 2 or 3 years, so obviously you got a list for the next one. And they gave me a two-word response, and the second one was you. And so they will, if they come to the SEC like they're supposed to, they'll make more money. They already got more money than the government. But they will be, I think, an also-ran. They're not a power in the Big 12 in football. And coming to SEC is going to make it even tougher on them. But, hey, it doesn't surprise me at all. I've thought for a long time, George, we're headed for a super conference, and I know Baylor will get left out, and I hope Oklahoma and Texas leave. They can get, like, the University of Houston, which has wanted to join forever, and maybe Brigham Young. That's who they've talked about before.
John, do you think Sankey was shocked that it got out during the meetings, or do you think he knew it was coming?
I can't imagine that somebody's going to leak a story of that magnitude and the commissioner not knowing about it.
Okay. Let me try this one on you. So you're sitting there at Oklahoma State. You're sitting there at Baylor. You're saying to yourself, if these two go, this conference, it's lost its mojo. I hear Houston, I hear BYU, but is this ultimately the end of the Big 12?
Well, I don't know it'd be the end. There's still conferences. There's lesser conferences. It wouldn't be, I don't think it'd be a Power 5 conference. Maybe it would. You know, Brigham Young last year was really good. Houston, Houston was not, but they have been. But it's not Oklahoma and Texas, of course. And the way Baylor got into, and Texas Tech got into the Big 12 when the Southwest Conference broke up was politics. We had a lot of people. We had the governor. I think they had the lieutenant governor. We had a lot of people in Austin in the legislature, and they demanded they would not stand in the way if their schools got taken in. There was a lot of ill feelings and jealousy on the part of TCU and TCU's alums. Then, of course, TCU got in. So it's all about money, of course. And I don't begrudge anybody, George, doing what it takes to make money. And of course, the Big 12 would go from being a Power 5 to maybe a Power 8 or 9 or 10. But it would certainly not be what it's been before. And what I would not like about it, it keeps Baylor from beating up on the Longhorns in different sports, including football.
I love it. Gosh, this brings back some memories. Watson, say hello to John McClain.
John, how are you? And thanks for coming on.
It's my pleasure. Anything for George, I'm happy to do.
John, I wonder if the other schools that are left wouldn't not be hunting somebody to come in. They're not looking to leave because there's not going to be that money that's even they're getting now.
Absolutely.
And I think they would. I think that the Iowa States, the Baylors, Baylor, I think, would try to head west. Iowa State might try to head to the Big Ten. Kansas State, maybe the Big Ten. I don't know. Kansas being basketball like they are, ACC. I just feel like this if and when this happens, and I personally think it's going to, I'm not sure there isn't a conference anymore, and it becomes the Power Four, and it might just that might end up what it ends up being. All these different conferences keep adding to where they end up with 16 to 20, and we just keep cutting it down.
One of the things I like about the Big 12, the way it's been, everybody plays everybody. I've always liked that. I don't like the way the SEC doesn't play each other every year. And you see it come down to the end, and you think, boy, this team, if they just had to play LSU, or they didn't have to play Alabama, and I like that. And because there can be no questions at the end of the season when you've beaten a team, when they're trying to decide on rankings and bowl projections and playoffs. And so we're going to an expanded playoff format. And you could be right, but I don't see those other conferences in a rush to bring in the Big 12. And right now, the Pac-12, what's the Pac-12 done lately? Nothing. They've had all kind of problems. The Big 12 makes more money from TV than the Pac-12 does, but obviously that TV money would be cut way back. Their budgets would be cut way back when it came to recruiting. And all those athletes that are going to go to Alabama, and I doubt seriously that the quarterback from Alabama has $1 million in endorsements, that's just to make Alabama look good, like, come here and you can make $1 million in endorsements, which is smart and exciting to do because you should be promoting schools every way you can, but it'd be less of a chance for them to get. Now, what I'd like to know, are they going to keep Vanderbilt? You know, are they going to keep Mississippi State? Is anybody going to be forced out of the SEC? Are they going to be happy with the numbers, adding these two, which, of course, is another split in the TV money. But if you have Texas and Oklahoma who have great TV ratings all over, not just Texas, but the Southwest. You know, that recently negotiated deal between ESPN and SEC, that would have to be renegotiated if they get these teams in there.
Well, John, don't you think it would? I think that the money, you throw these two into the SEC, they're just sitting there and they're going to say how much they want. It would be unbelievable to me. And I just don't see anybody that the Big 12 could bring in to even keep the money that they're getting now. I just think
There's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah, and so I think it's going to fall, and maybe it doesn't happen, but I think these schools are going to start hunting. I don't think they're going to be saying, well, let's bring this one in and let's bring this one in. I think they're going to be hunting, trying to not be left out, just like we watched in Texas when this took place from the Southwest Conference, John, to the Big 12 when TCU was left out. The different schools were left out. I remember being at Rice in the mid-80s as the AD and the head coach, and everybody, a lot of the Rice people were saying, boy, we need to get out of the Southwest Conference. I said, that's the last thing you want to do. And sure enough, since then, Rice has struggled financially. And that's why I think these schools will try. Doesn't mean they can get in, but I think they're going to sure stick their nose out.
John, got about a minute and a half before the break.
I would say I think first thing they'll do is reach out to other schools like they've done before, because I think they know that if they try to go hunting, that they're gonna come up empty-handed, because there's not going to be a lot of interest in these schools based on revenue and everything they do. Even a national champion basketball team like Baylor.
That was a quick answer, John. Before we go to the break. How many movies have you been in?
George, I can only tell you the last one was Spring Breakers. Harmony Korine from Nashville was the director, and that was the last one, because once the internet came and I had to be available 24/7, I didn't have time to spend on movie sets, and I regret it because I had a blast.
What was the baseball movie? Because I went and saw it.
The Rookie was my first one, and Invincible, Secretariat. Make It Rain, Cook County, which won the awards in Nashville Film Festival, and Game Plan, and The Longest Yard, and then the last one being Spring Breakers, which is the one I get the most attention for because it's on TV like 10 times every night, always on cable, could never be on network.
When The Rookie came out, I went the first night, and I'm in the back of the theater, and all of a sudden there's John, and I just got up and screamed, I know him! And everybody looked around.
Nobody sees that movie anymore, recognizes me, because I was about 90 pounds less then than I am now.
Hey, hang in there with us. We're going to go to the break, and then we'll bring you back up.
Sounds good.
This, for me, is an absolute blast to reunite with a guy that I had a lot of fun with. And frankly, we raised a lot of money together for the Charles Davis Foundation, almost $2 million over about a 20-year period. So to say this guy is a friend is an understatement. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle on the line with us. We'll go to the break and tell you we'll have more with him on the Plaster Radio Network.
We're planning a trip to Spain later this year.
But our Spanish
is pretty bad.
When you learn a language, you want to actually use it. Babbel is designed with that goal in mind. Babbel's conversation-based method teaches you real-life words and phrases. And with Babbel's interactive, bite-sized lessons, you'll remember what you learned.
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿Cómo te llamas?
¿De dónde eres?
¿De dónde eres?
No matter your learning style or experience level, Babbel has lessons designed for you that will get you speaking quickly and confidently.
I tried learning Spanish before, but I couldn't stick with it until I found Babbel.
There's no easier way to learn another language.
Ahora hablamos español.
He just said, now we speak Spanish.
I can't wait to use our new language skills on our upcoming adventures.
Babbel, language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continues continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Award-winning Davidson Reserve Whiskey is the truest expression of what originally inspired Pennington Distilling Company, based in Nashville, to open a distillery in 2011. It's a reflection of Tennessee heritage that connects Tennessee to a long and storied history of distilling alcohol. Each expression is mashed, distilled, aged, and bottled right on site. Davidson Reserve takes pride in our craft, and we are honored to share it with you. Pick up a bottle of one of our award-winning Davidson Reserve whiskeys from your local retailer today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey is one of the world's first chances to experience and taste a small batch craft Tennessee whiskey. Taste this locally distilled, aged, and bottled spirit today. Award-winning Davidson Reserve Tennessee Whiskey.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com. .242 is the time I have gone to Radio Heaven. John McLean from the Houston Chronicle is on the line with us. Terry, I got a feeling that we're done with Houston and Oklahoma and Texas and BYU. You're going somewhere else, aren't you?
Yeah, John, I think we're going to talk a little NFL. That's all right with you?
Of course.
So that his streak continues, that every show is going to ask him about Deshaun Watson. Let's
Absolutely.
See how you phrase it.
All right. Well, I'm going somewhere else first.
Oh, my goodness.
But I am
Are you
ask
kidding?
Him. No, I'm not.
Okay.
Because about a week or so ago, the Titans, Amy Adams Strunk, made an announcement and said that Bum Phillips, Jeff Fisher, and Floyd Reese would be inducted into the team's Ring of Honor. I, for one, thought that certainly those all three were long overdue, but I was shocked that Bum Phillips wasn't already there. Can you talk just a little bit about the impact that Bum had on the city of Houston during his heyday?
Terry, first of all, Bum came when the team was really bad. Sid Gilman was the head coach. They had been the worst team in the NFL back-to-back seasons, won 2 games. And then they brought him in, and he hired Bum as his defensive coordinator, and the next year, 1975, made him the head coach. And then Bum got it put in his contract with Bud Adams that Sid couldn't come out to practice and tell him what to do. And the first time Sid came out in training camp and tried to tell him what to do, Bum said, "Sid, you know, you need to look at my contract." Sid did, and he quit, and he always held it against Bum. But they were 10-4, and right off the bat, and they beat Cincinnati in the last game, and that allowed the Steelers to get in the playoffs, and Steelers won the Super Bowl. And then the Steelers sent everybody in the organization briefcases made out of footballs. And Bum was a really popular coach around the NFL, great rivalries against Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Cincinnati in the AFC Central. And they went to the playoffs 3 years in a row, 78-79-80, went to the AFC Championship game after the 78-79 seasons, lost both at Pittsburgh, which I still think had the greatest dynasty in the 70s I've ever seen. And Bum made a trade with Tampa to get the first pick in the 78 draft, drafted Earl Campbell, led the NFL in rushing his first three seasons, and now is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And they were fun to cover. My first camp was 1977, and my first day at training camp back then, six preseason games, 8 weeks of camp, a week with rookies, and I went into this long table that Bum had where the media would come in and line up around the table, and he'd give them Budweisers out of a cooler. Nobody sat down where Bum was sitting, and so I said, I'm going to sit down here. And they said, yeah, go right ahead. And I'm thinking, now, why is everybody else way down at the other end of the table? Bum comes in, gives everybody Budweiser, sits at the seat next to me at the end of the table, proceeds to take off his stinky socks and put his feet up on the table. And I realized, man, that's why everybody else was at the other end. And I looked down there and got a bleep-eating grin from everybody, and I never sat down there again. But he's one of the greatest people I ever knew, one of the fairest, the nicest, and he was a tough guy, Guadalcanal Marine veteran from World War II. And I know his wife will be very, very happy to come up there. She's really, really good friends with Amy Adams Strunk. And I know Amy, who grew up loving the Oilers, and even though Floyd and Jeff both started here, having Bum up there will be extra special to have Debbie come up there and accept it for him. And I know they call it the Titans Oilers Hall of Fame. I call it the Oilers Titans Hall of Fame.
And John, do you think the NFL, you know, there's still a little bit of the rub between Houston and Nashville over the old-time Oiler fans, and because they would love for the tradition, the team's history to be there in Houston. There are fans down there in Houston that would love to see them don the Houston Oiler uniforms at some point, now that the NFL has relaxed the helmet rule. I think it would be great if the Titans went down there and wore the Houston Oiler uniforms in a throwback and do it in Houston. How would that be received in Houston if the Titans wore the Oiler throwbacks down there?
That would be rubbing it in their faces, and they would never get out of NRG Stadium alive.
Terry, you thought that would go over well?
It would be, you know, for nostalgia's sake.
And I tell people here all the time, the Texans are not the Oilers. The Texans are the Texans. The Oilers are the Titans. Don't even think that that's ever going to happen. Why would it? You know, the Texans are not. They got nothing, no connection whatsoever with the Houston Oilers. And I wish that the fans in Nashville, who I've always thought, feel and act like they got an expansion team in 99 when they changed the name and got the new uniforms and new stadium and new facility. People almost forget they were the Tennessee Oilers for 2 years, and I'd love to know what the Adams family did with all that memorabilia. I heard that Bud had a big warehouse somewhere south of town full of Tennessee Oilers, and he had a big warehouse here full of Oilers stuff that I told him one time, give it away. People would love it. But that's the kind of thing that'll never happen. And I just want Amy, and this is a big deal with the NFL, you got to get everything approved, for the Titans to wear those Oiler throwbacks at least one game, as they did in the preseason game that I saw them. I believe it was in Canton, and it brought back a lot of great memories.
John, got time for one more. Got about a 3-minute answer here. I got to ask about Deshaun Watson. There's rumors now that if and when he gets to come back into the league and is cleared of anything, that the Philadelphia Eagles are lurking around, would like to make a trade for him. Do you think the Texans will trade him once he's reinstated, or now that all this stuff is going on?
Well, first of all, there's not one change in Watson's situation. He still has 22 lawsuits, civil suits for sexual assault and misconduct, and that's unprecedented. The league's investigating. Police have an investigation. Everybody here wants to know, will he show up for the when they report on Tuesday? Now, he has told them since the end of the season. I'll miss the off-season, camp, preseason, regular season. I'll miss all that money to be traded. And they were going to trade him before the draft, but then all of a sudden the lawsuits started coming one after another. And I've read every word, and there is some really, really bad stuff in there. And all those women deserve to have their day in court, but he's still innocent until proven guilty. And so if he were to show up to avoid a $50,000 a day fine, he'd never be on the field. He's never going to play here again. At some point, he'll be traded when the legal issues are resolved. Nobody knows when that is. And I think what will happen, if Roger Goodell does not put him on the exempt list, commissioner's exempt list where he gets paid, but he doesn't report, if he does that, that would be great for Watson. Or the Texans could decide, make all those absences excused and not fine him $50,000 a day. They can do that at two. So if I'm Watson, I don't think he'll show up. But if he did, it would be a circus-like atmosphere. He'd never make the field. They'd leave him in the building, probably tell him, okay, you showed up, now you can go home. And a lot of national media is here waiting to see what happens on Tuesday and Wednesday when they go on the field for the first time.
John, 30-second answer I need here. David Culley is a Sparta, Tennessee native and a former Vanderbilt quarterback. What about it? I feel so bad for him.
Well, David Culley wanted to be a head coach after 27 years in the NFL, and he is. Everybody loves David Culley. I did a huge story on him and Sparta and his late father, and I can't tell you how much I respect him, but this is not going to be a good barometer this season to judge him as a coach because they could be so bad, but everybody wants him to succeed.
You are so good to have come on here. And I loved the opportunity to be with you at Jeff Fisher's event for Mike Heimerdinger. John, I appreciate this a ton.
George, it's my pleasure. And Watson and Terry, it's great being on with all you guys. Hope you have a great rest of the day and a great weekend and a fun season. Thank you.
You take care, John.